And I think one of the things that we should do as we come for worship is to approach worship with a sense of joy. I think that's something that we want to have. You know, as we prepare our hearts for worship, you know, I'm here, I'm very, very conscious of God, and I'm here not just to preach the word, but to worship God. I think very soon, we will be celebrating our National Day. I think at schools, you have started singing National Day songs, right? Home Truly, Count on Me Singapore, and so on. And I think these are songs that we sing as a nation. And I think we do this so that we can take the time to remember how our nation has prospered from where we came from and how we've been blessed through the years. So today, I will be talking to you all about how the people of Israel, they were a people saved by God. And as God's people, they were meant to celebrate and to learn how to rejoice. So as God's people, as we also look forward to our anniversary next month, I think it's good for us to take a bit of time to just remember how God has blessed us, how God has been with us as a church, as individuals, and as collectively as a church. And I think it's good for us to be thankful. That's one thing that we want to do, is to be thankful to God for what He has blessed us with. And that's how we should always approach. You know, we should not come to worship with a grumpy face, but we should come with a thankful heart. And that's how I'm going to approach worship today. And I hope this is something that you will have in mind as we prepare our hearts for worship. Okay, let's prepare our hearts for worship. You know, one of the things that I'm thankful for is our dear Pastor Charlie. You know, last week when he came back to preach to us at youth worship, you know, I was very thankful, despite him not fully well, his BP was high, and yet he was here preaching to us, preaching his heart out to us. And I'm very, very thankful. And you know, what he spoke to us brought a lot of hope to us. I think that's something that we want to be thankful for. What can you be thankful for today as we worship? And, you know, I'm thankful for our dear pastor. He's not with us today, so he's worshiping with us at home. But we want to remember him in prayer as he ministers tomorrow. Okay, and let's prepare our hearts for worship. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you that you are a God that we can come before and praise you and glorify your name. We thank you for this time that we can worship you, and we give thanks to you, Lord, for all the things that you have blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, especially for our dear pastor who continues to teach us and preach to us your word. We pray that you will continue to help him, Lord, to get better, stronger, and we pray that you'll be with him as he ministers tomorrow. And we ask, dear Lord, that you will bless us as we worship you. May we be able to draw nearer to you, and may we sing songs to you with hearts of thanksgiving. So bless this time, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Youth Worship. I'm Chris, and this is Lorraine. And it's truly our joy and privilege to be here today to lead everyone in a time of singing.
While preparing to share together, Chris and I thought that we had virtually no shared memories. And after all, we have a 5-year age gap, and our paths in church never really crossed.
But as I started digging through some of my old photos, we unearthed some really interesting photos from our past. So it turns out that I had attended Lorraine's 8th birthday. We had played Uno together and even squeezed on the same seesaw together at the playground. And lastly, we also cooked together.
Clearly, I was the one cooking and Chris was just slacking off. But I guess our paths crossed more than we realised. It's truly a joy to be sharing with Chris today and to be worshipping with everyone here. One of the lessons that the Lord has been teaching me is how sin has a grip on me and how urgently I need to address and fight against it. But what is sin? At its root, sin is the failure to honour God as He deserves. It includes loving something more than Him, trusting something more than Him, or desiring something above Him. And I see this play out at work. So part of my work now involves helping individuals, vulnerable individuals, with their legal problems. But beyond the legal problems that I see, I realize that I come face to face with sin every day. I see families torn apart by domestic violence when anger and self have taken God's rightful place. I see marriages broken by infidelity and unfaithfulness when sinful desires have taken the place of faithfulness to God, faithfulness to one's spouse. And I see individuals who suffer financial loss because they trusted in empty promises when deception, when greed, have been valued above truth. And perhaps these situations feel very far removed from our lives, and our instinct is to think, I would never do that. And to be honest, I felt that too. I was in a position to help those who had been victims of these sins. But before a holy God, the question is not how we compare with others, it's how we compare with God Himself. And if sin is the failure to honour God as He deserves, it invites each of us to consider too whether we too have fallen short. The fight against sin begins by beholding Him as He truly is. And our first song helps us do just that. Who has held the oceans in His hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Behold our God, the Creator, who alone is worthy of worship rather than created things. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of His words? Behold our God, the sovereign ruler, whose purposes are higher than ours. Who has felt the nails upon His hands, bearing the guilt of sinful men? Behold the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, who bore the punishment for our sins, which we are so prone to. personally for me, a sin that I have been actively trying to fight against is the sin of withholding forgiveness when I feel wronged. When I refuse to forgive, I have placed my right to be vindicated above Christ. I treasure my own sense of justice above the mercy that I have received from Christ. Beholding the Lord Jesus Christ and his ultimate act of forgiveness on the cross helps me to fight this sin daily. It is at the cross that I see myself equally worthy of condemnation as the wrongdoer. It is at the cross that I realize that I stand, the wrongdoer stands, in Christ's love. And as we begin worship this afternoon, would we examine our hearts? What has captured our hearts more than God? Our ambitions, our desires, a relationship, our possessions, or even our sense of justice and righteousness? May the Lord help us to behold him again, and as we behold him, to restore his rightful place as first in our hearts. So as we take this song, we will be singing it a bit differently. We will include the bridge this time. And perhaps I could point to the bridge. Yeah, so the girls will take the red, and then the boys will take the blue. And with that, let us take our first song together, Behold Our God.
Thank you for your singing and for the AV team and musicians for supporting and worship. Behold our God, come let us adore him. The song that we just sang doesn't just stop at beholding God, but proceeds with an invitation to adore him. And in other words, to love him. Because when we truly see who God is, for who he is, our hearts will be drawn to love him. This brings to remembrance the Shema that we read off at the start of the book of Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. When the Lord Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, this was the very passage he quoted. Out of all the commandments, he singled this one specifically. And that impressed upon me the weight and significance of this commandment to love God. Our next song is a new song titled, Help Us Love You, Lord. Beyond its nice melody, what stood out to me was its lyrics, which were inspired from Deuteronomy 6:5. The songwriters wrote this as a prayer, recognizing that our love for God is imperfect. And we continually need God's help to grow in our love for him. And as I listened to the lyrics, I found myself reflecting again on my own love for God. So if you were to ask me if I love God, the answer is an immediate yes. On the surface, it will surely seem so. I put in the effort to read his word faithfully. I enjoy singing praises, and I serve him regularly. Although these expressions are good, they have slowly become habitual rather than responses of love for God. At times, while singing praise songs, my mind might wander elsewhere. Or when I'm cleaning up after church, I could be more focused on completing the task at hand quickly. Outwardly, I was doing things for God, but inwardly, I wasn't always consciously delighting in him. So this was when the words, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength," began to take on a new meaning for me. It wasn't simply a command to love God, but about giving him my complete devotion. As I compared this to my own love for God, I couldn't help but ask myself, was my heart truly devoted to God, or had other things taken place? This question also made me realize that I shouldn't simply assume that I love God because I do things that a Christian ought to do. But loving him is something that I need to intentionally cultivate each day. Till today, I am still learning how to consciously love God. It means intentionally building my prayer life, and to learn how to relate to Him, or constantly reminding myself that in whatever I do, it is for Him. Even in serving, to put my focus on the one whom I'm serving rather than the task itself. And even as I seek to cultivate this love for God, I know that this is something that I cannot do with my own strength. I need the Lord's continual work in my heart to deepen my love for Him. And that's why I chose this song, Help Me Love You, Lord. Its lyrics echo my prayer for the Lord to help me to love Him with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. So as we take this song together, may we find a renewed desire to love the Lord more consciously and to give Him our complete devotion. So because this is a new song, can we get the praise singers to come up to help us introduce this song together? So we'll be singing the second verse and the chorus first, then later we can take the whole song together.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 28 and 29. In this passage, Moses concludes his final prayer of blessing upon Israel. Moses ends off his prayer by remembering again the person of the Lord and His glorious promises to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 28. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew.
Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places.
Thank you so much, everyone. Well, good afternoon. And we've been learning a lot of lessons about prayer over the last few weeks, and I hope that has impacted you. Let me share a couple of lessons that have impacted me quite a bit. The first is this, that we must always pray with hope. Very often when we pray personally, we pray in a heartfelt way, but not always with hope. Well, at least that's what I realized. But praying must involve hope. It's like what the Apostle Paul says, that contrary to all the things that seem against us, hope is the ability to see the way ahead. Hope is like a light in the darkness. And when there is hope, there is a future. The second lesson that is very precious is that prayer is made to a God of hope. This is a God that is so wonderfully described in Deuteronomy 33. Let me read it for you. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in His excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Would you put your hope in this God who will be there for you? And so what is the prayer that I'm going to make for all of us today? I think we all need this. It's the prayer for Asher in verse 25. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. We're going to face challenging days for those who will take major exams soon, and for the rest of us as well towards the end of the year. And here's the prayer. As your days, so shall your strength be. But what is needed very much is for us, number one, to pray. Number two, to hope. And number three, to find it very much in the Lord God Himself. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Father in heaven, today we come before you. We thank you for this wonderful privilege of prayer. And Lord, we thank you for the many lessons that we have been able to learn about prayer. And we pray that even as we learn, Lord, you help us to apply these things. And Lord, we pray very much, you teach us to have sandals of iron and bronze, to walk in the paths of life, even if they be challenging, and to know that you will supply the strength that we need. We pray for the young people especially that you will help them to find this very real in the months ahead. We ask for grace and mercy to be given, that you will help us to comprehend your word today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for your part in worship today. I think it's wonderful to see all of you involved in wanting to honor the Lord in different ways, in worship, in song, in prayer, in reading. I think that's wonderful. Now, we have been studying the prayer of blessing of Moses for Israel from Deuteronomy 33. There were individual prayers of blessing for each tribe of Israel, and we've been learning wonderful lessons from them. We now come to the last part of Moses' prayer of blessing. And now he's going to tie up everything in what he's going to pray. And I think this is very significant. He was going to make a collective prayer of blessing for the whole nation. And these are actually his last words that he will say. And the next passage that we're going to study is that he will not say anything else really. It will be God speaking to him, and then he will pass on. So these are actually his last words, and they are significant. And we want to take a bit of time to just study it today. Okay, well, let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for the many lessons that we have learned from Deuteronomy 33, from each individual prayer that's been made for each tribe. And we pray that you will help us to be able to understand this last part of Moses' prayer of blessing. We pray that you will guide us, help us to be able to see you for who you are. And we pray that we can respond the way that you want us to, Lord, as we study your word. So bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we all know, the backdrop, as Pastor said last week, of Moses' prayer of blessing is the Song of Moses. And that's from Deuteronomy 32. And he wrote a song that is meant to be a witness against the people of Israel. So in a song, as we know, is a witness for God and what he has done. It's also a witness against Israel for what the people of Israel will do. And so this was a strong warning. This song is a strong warning against Israel of what they are capable of doing. And Moses was able to see how they will be corrupted. There'll be a lack of appreciation for God. There'll be their apostasy, and God will ultimately judge them for their sins. And in the song, a distinction is made. The Lord will judge the people because of their corruption, but he will have compassion on his servants. And the Gentiles will also rejoice, and they will come to have faith in the Lord. So it was in the light of this song that Moses prayed this prayer of blessing. Now, today we want to begin with a consideration. One of the considerations that we must have is that prayer is not magic. Okay? It's not hocus pocus. It's not Harry Potter stuff. It's not, you know, if you say a prayer and then God is going to answer straight away. Okay, so you must be able to think maturely, not childishly. Very often people think, oh, you know, if I pray to God, God must answer my prayer, then God is real. No. We must have a proper understanding of prayer, that prayer is not magic. So Moses prayed for all the tribes of Israel, Reuben, Judah, Levi, Benjamin, Nathalie, Asher. The last one was Asher. So he prayed for each one individually. And now he's going to pray a prayer collectively. Now,
many complex situations can arise to affect prayers being answered. So it's not straightforward that if you pray, God is going to answer that prayer. Now, what are things that can happen that can stop prayer being answered? Firstly, from within. From within, it is yourself. Self can stop prayers being answered. When people end up focusing on themselves, when a person end up with a sin problem, so sin can hinder prayers being answered. So from within. From within, it is yourself. It is also the problem of sin. From without, outside you. For example, the people of Israel, there were many enemies. And there can be many enemies. There were many enemies with reference to Israel. And when the people lack faith, when the people lack prayer, when they do not pray, enemies will defeat them. So when faced with enemies, they can be easily defeated if they do not exercise faith and if they do not pray. So prayer is not magic. You know, when I was younger, I used to think that if I pray, then straight away God will answer, especially for exams. And then when exam come, we all try to be better people. We try to be gooder in the hope that God will hear our prayers. But if you did not study, remember, prayer is not magic. Okay? It's not Alakazam, boosh. You know, you pass your exam. No. Amen is not a magic word. Just because you say Amen at the end of your prayer, it is not a magical word. It's not Alakazam and so on. Like magicians when they say, when they do their tricks. So prayer is not magic. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 32 that the people of Israel will eventually forsake the Lord, turn to idols, and they will be defeated by other nations. Nevertheless, Moses made this prayer. He still prayed for blessing with hope and with faith. And this is an amazing prayer. It's a prayer of hope. Hopefully, as he prayed, with hope, things can turn around. He knew that the people would be corrupted. He knew that the people would disobey. But he still prayed. So it's a very amazing prayer. You know, when you look at Deuteronomy 33, it's all very hopeful. He's thinking of the best for each tribe and as a nation. He's praying the best for them. And to me, this is an amazing prayer being made. And you can see Moses' commitment to pray for God's blessing for the people of Israel. He's totally committed to pray. In Deuteronomy 33 and in verse 28, "Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew." Wow. You know, he had the very best for Israel. Moses started praying for the people of Israel when they were in Egypt. 40 years ago, he started praying for them. 40 years has gone by. You know, he has gone through so much with the people of Israel, and yet he was praying for them despite their complaining spirit, despite all the things that they have done. So I see Moses' commitment to pray for God's blessings. This is truly a person who's committed to pray. Even though there were so many things stacked against the prayer that he was doing. And truly, there is no God like the God of Jeshurun. You know, the power of God to conquer the land of Canaan. You know, this will be a fulfillment of the promise of the Lord made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The eternal God is the refuge of Israel. And we see the power of God. We see the power of God in helping Israel conquer the land. He will thrust out the enemies before them. And this, as Pastor said last week, is their glow of hope. Israel will overcome their enemies. Enemies will submit to Israel. They will tread down their high places. They will bring down the altars used to worship idols. And you know Joshua? Joshua will lead the armies of Israel to go in and defeat the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Girgashites, the Perizzites, Perizzites, cousins of Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Websites, the Termites, and everyone else that's there. And you know, Joshua will lead the armies of Israel to do all these things. While Moses can pray, the people still have to conquer the land. They have to do their part. So there's the power of the Lord, which he prayed for. There was the protection of the Lord that he prayed for, that Israel shall dwell in safety. Then Israel shall dwell in safety. And this was a blessing that he prayed for Israel. After they conquer the land, the prayer of blessing is that Israel will dwell safely. They will be protected. They will find rest in the land. After years of walking in the wilderness, can you imagine walking through the wilderness for 40 years? That's a long time, walking in the wilderness, moving from place to place. After 40 years in the wilderness, they were meant to find peace and solace in the land of Canaan. Whether this will be fulfilled is another thing. But you know, can you imagine walking through the wilderness for 40 years, every other day, whenever the pillar of cloud would move, they have to move, right? And I think that's amazing, that finally they will go into the land of Canaan. So God was going to bring them into the promised land. So there's the power of God, there's the protection of the Lord, and then there will be the provision. The fountain of Jacob alone. The fountain of Jacob alone in the land means out of Jacob will flow a fountain of descendants of Jacob. That's what it is. A nation will come out of him. It's like a fountain flowing. The imagery is a bit funny, like, you know, fountain of people flowing out. Not water, but, you know, people. And there will come a nation out of him. And they will be alone with God in the land of Canaan. In other words, they will stand distinct. They will be safe and secure from the enemies. Israel. You see, this was what he prayed for them, that truly they will be successful in conquering the land and they will dwell safely in the land. And God will prosper the work of their hands. The land of grain and new wine, there will be a great harvest of grain, there will be fruitful wines, the heavens will drop dew, the skies will rain, and there will be a good harvest. So Moses prayed. Moses prayed with this hope. Okay? This is something that he really wanted for the people of Israel. Moses' faith was in the God of hope to bring these things to pass. Now, the next part in verse 29, we read, "Happy are you, O Israel." Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So on one hand, he was praying for the future blessing of Israel, right? But now he takes a moment to remember the fact of God's past blessing on Israel, a people saved by the Lord. Moses' prayer for the people was that they were to be happy. They were meant to be joyful. They were meant to rejoice then. So they have not gone into the land yet. At this point of time, as he prayed for them, his prayer is, even as I prayed for you, all the 12 tribes, and collectively as a nation, at this point of time, my last word to you, be happy. Be a happy people. You know, learn to rejoice. Then that God is your God and you are his people. There is no nation like the nation of Israel. And truly, they have become distinct as a nation because of what God has done for them. So there was a fact. The fact of being a people saved by the Lord, a saved people. And truly, the Lord delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. He sent great plagues on Egypt. He opened up the Red Sea. He destroyed the armies of Egypt. He had preserved the nation for 40 years through the wilderness. Wow, that's a long time. Every day, the Lord was there. He delivered King Og, King Sihon into their hands. The Lord has been delivering the nation of Israel again and again and again. And part of Moses' hope was based on what God had done before, right? A saved people, a protected people, the Lord as the shield of their help, right? So a shield is meant to protect, isn't it? A soldier would carry a shield. It is meant to protect the person, the soldier. So the Lord God has been this shield of help to the nation of Israel. He had protected and helped them in many ways. For example, Exodus 14, in verse 19 to 20, when Israel was heading towards the Red Sea and the people, the Egyptian army was coming behind them, the angel of the Lord went from before the camp to behind them. Right? And then the pillar of cloud also went from before them to behind them. Okay? And so this pillar of cloud was blocking the armies of Egypt from the people of Israel. Right? Can you imagine a pillar of cloud? Right? Army of Egypt coming, and then they cannot see. You know, it's like all of a sudden they are, you know, it's like a big fog in front of them or a big cloud, and they cannot see the people of Israel. And they were protected from the armies of Egypt. You know, truly, what a sight that would have been, right? The Lord as the sword of their majesty, honored people. The Lord had given majesty, glory to the nation of Israel. The sword is used for, very often for defensive and offensive measures, right? And of course, the Lord helped Israel win battles against other nations. And you know, through the years, this 53 years that I've been here in Bethany, I've seen how God has specially protected us through thick and thin, through all kinds of challenges. God has been with us. We have people who have said things against Bethany. We have people who tried to bring down Bethany. We have people who have spoken things against Bethany, even pastor. And being here for the last 53 years, I can tell you that God is here with us. That God has been watching over us. That God has been protecting us. That God has been with us. We are a safe people. We are a protected people. We are meant to be, and we are a honored people. That God has honored us. That we continue to be a church that preaches the word of God. You know, to me, that is truly wonderful. God has been with us in a very wonderful way. And you know, we are meant to be a happy people. We are meant to rejoice. Happy are you, O Israel. This is a complaining people. This is a grumbling people. This is a corrupted people. These people do not know how to rejoice. And the last word that Moses was going to give to the people is, happy are you. You know, you should learn how to rejoice. We should learn how to rejoice. Our source of happiness is two things: the Lord's past blessings and the Lord's future blessings. The fact of God blessing us in the past, the last 53 years, and with hope, the future blessings that God will bring upon Bethany. These two things, with hope, should bring a very special sense of joy to our hearts. And you know, Moses remembered. He remembered the Lord's hand of blessing as he taught earlier, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. He told the people to remember. And we can choose. We can choose to rejoice in the Lord, or we can choose to complain like the people of Israel. You have a choice to complain or to rejoice. You know, we too, as a people of God, we want to rejoice together in the fact that Bethany has been blessed by the Lord. We've been saved by Him. You know, many of us, we have written testimonies. I've read your testimonies, how you have been saved by the Lord, right? Many of you have taken the step of baptism, reaffirmation. And when I read those testimonies, I am thankful. You have been saved by the Lord. We are a people that have been saved by the Lord. And so as we look forward to our church's 53rd anniversary, let's have a communal joy, a common joy, a joy that we can have together as a church, as a people of God. Let's be part of our anniversary celebration. Happy are you, O Israel. You know, there should come so much more joy to our hearts and our lives. And then, you know, to me, this is something that we want to consider. What is it that you want to be thankful for? You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what we have here in Bethany. All these years that we've been together, from day one, when we had a small little church, just 2 weeks ago, I was in Seletar Hills visiting a home that was just nearby church. And I still remember walking past 2 weeks ago, old Bethany, Jalan Lakum, small little terrace house. And we all started with 20 people. I was there. I was part, together with Pastor Mark, one of the 20 people. I was only 5 years old then. And we had one toilet. Huh? One toilet, which, you know, the pulley kind. So whenever people want to go toilet during service, it's a bit embarrassing because when they go and when they flush the toilet, everybody in the sanctuary can hear them, right? But that's how we started. And now we got how many toilets? Those who wash toilet, how many are there? 14. 13. 13 toilets. I think there's more, right? Okay, anyway, 13 toilets. But thank God. You know, God has blessed us through the years. You know, I'm thankful. I'm really, really thankful for what we have. Happy are you, O Israel. You know, I'm sure the children of Israel, they are meant to be happy, to be thankful, to be joyful. And Moses included this in his prayer. You know, it was a time for them. It was a time for them to rejoice, a time for them to end on a happy note. Okay, so the last part of his prayer is that he wanted to end on a happy note. He wanted them to rejoice and to give thanks. A saved people, a protected people, an honored people, a joyful people. You know, this was something that he wanted for the people to be able to rejoice. And then, lastly, we read, there's that commitment to pray for future blessings. There's that communal joy in the fact of past blessings. Now the challenge is to choose wisely to be faithful to the Lord. You know, on one hand, we read of the song of Moses as a witness against Israel, right? So the song of Moses is what the people of Israel might become. They have not become yet. They are on the way, but ultimately they have not. The prayer of blessing for the people of Israel, that is a prayer of hope. So on one hand, we read the song of Moses as a witness against Israel. On the other hand, we read of the prayer of blessing of Moses on every tribe. And so we have a choice. We have a choice to make. The way of corruption and judgment, or the way of obedience and blessing. You see, you can look back and see God's hand of blessing and rejoice and be thankful, which we will be doing at our anniversary. And then we can also pray. The leaders can pray, pastors can pray, your parents can pray. You can pray for the future blessing. But ultimately, you must choose. You must choose to be faithful. You must choose not the way of sin and corruption, but the way of obedience and blessing. If we learn the right lessons, Deuteronomy 32 will not happen. Deuteronomy 33 will happen. In reality, for the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 32 happened in the end for Israel. But for us, we have a choice. You know, can we pray for the Lord to bless? And the answer is yes. We can have hope in God to bring about His blessing. But the choice is ours whether we follow through or not. Either we sin, we end up as a sinful, for the people of Israel, they can end up as a sinful nation, or they can follow God and their faith will prevail. They can be a blessed nation. So Moses prayed with hope, and yet the people needed to be faithful. Individually as a tribe, collectively as a nation. And this is God's plan all along. This is how God has planned all along. From the very beginning, from the book, from the beginning of Deuteronomy, God has been telling through Moses, you have a choice. You have a choice to follow the way of God or the way of sin. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 30. In Deuteronomy 30, and in verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgment, and you will live and multiply, and the Lord will bless you in the land. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I will announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and that you, cursing. Therefore, this is the most important part, therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life. Choose the way of God. Choose blessing. Not your own ways, not the way of sin, not the way where the Lord will remove His blessing from us. We have a choice to love the Lord and His word that He may bless, or turn our hearts away from Him and He will chasten and judge. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I say to you, choose life. Choose the way of the Lord. Choose blessing. So how can we apply these lessons today? Number one, you know, people can be committed. Let's be committed to pray for future blessings. Okay? We don't just pray once, But let's keep praying. Moses kept praying for the people of Israel. And he prayed for God's power, for God's provision, God's protection. But at the same time, as we look back and see God's blessing, we can come together to have this common joy, this sense of joy that we can rejoice together as a people, a safe people, a protected people, a distinct people, a joyful people. The Lord has given us salvation. He has protected and kept us. The Lord has blessed us these 53 years. You know, I'm really looking forward to the anniversary. If you have not signed up, I'm going to challenge you. Sign up for the anniversary. You know, all of us can come together and then we can rejoice together as a church. And then thirdly, we are meant to choose to be faithful to God together, that He may bless us as individuals and as a church in all that we do in the future, that we may reach our spiritual potential. If there are sins in our life, then let's seek the Lord for cleansing. Let's deal with them. See, one of the things that can stop God from blessing us, that can stop God from hearing our prayers, is our sins. It's self. When we focus on ourselves, when we want to do things our way, when we allow sin to corrupt us, prayers will be hindered. So prayer is not magic. Prayer is not everything. Yes, we pray. We pray with hope. But we need to do our part. If we are faithful, then our rejoicing in the Lord will continue. So we are meant to rejoice now. We take moments to rejoice, to be thankful, to be happy in the Lord, right? But it's only for this moment. If we want to continue to have that sense of joy and happiness in the Lord, we must choose to be faithful for the future, to be faithful to God, individually as a Christian, collectively as a church, as God's people. See, what I see here is there's so much going for the people of Israel. Here is God watching over them 40 years. You know, there's so much going for them. Here is Moses teaching them, giving them laws and teachings. And then you have the next generation of leaders, people like Joshua, Caleb, leading them into the land of Canaan. You know, everything's going for them. And I see this in all of you. I see everything's going for you. There's so much going for you. I wish when I was your age, I have what you all have today. You know, there's so much going for you. You know, there are so many of you coming together, worshiping together, serving together, singing together. Everything's going for you. But you have to make the choice with reference to the future. You have to say, you know, Lord, I want to love you. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And you can see the Lord blessing you. Don't end up like the people of Israel. Don't follow their ways. Because ultimately, God did not bless them in the end. They fulfilled Deuteronomy 32. You know, our part is to fulfill, or rather, be able to reach the potential of Deuteronomy 33. So we have a choice. You have a choice. You choose. Life or blessing? Or cursing and death. You have a choice, young people. And if you make the right choice, you will see God blessing you as He has blessed those, myself, Pastor Mark, the others, the pastors. We have seen how God has been there with us all these years. I've been in Bethany for the last 40 years. And I'm so thankful. Why? Because I choose to be here. I choose to follow the way of the Lord. I choose to be faithful to Him as an individual and as a church. So don't do this alone. Don't go through life alone. You know, let's learn to look out for each other. Let's seek the Lord together. And let's seek to be faithful to the Lord as a church. And may we be able to rejoice, not just these days, but for the days and many days to come in the future. Okay? You choose. My word to you, choose life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this wonderful and amazing prayer made by Moses, and how he prayed with wisdom and discernment for each tribe of Israel, and how he saw the potential in each one, and how he prayed for them, a prayer of blessing. And finally, he made a prayer of blessing for the whole nation, that it will go into the land, there will be the protection that you will give, and the blessings, how you will prosper them, provide for them, and they will dwell in safety, and they will be able to overcome their enemies. And we know, Lord, that these are just potential that the people of Israel could have. And yet, they failed. They did not follow through. They were not faithful. And we pray, dear Father, for each one of us today as we rejoice in what you have blessed us with. Lord, we pray that you will help us choose. Choose the way of righteousness, to choose the way of obedience. And you will bless us in return. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, not just this year, but always, to the day we see you in heaven. And we just want to pray that you will bless each one in a very special way as we give our offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking forward to celebrating our anniversary together at Sheng. Truly wonderful to be able to
to celebrate 53 years of God's hand of blessing. And, you know, one of the things that, as I see Pastor and the others who have continued in Bethany all these years, is because they followed through. They made a choice, and they followed through. They carried on. They sought to be faithful. And I hope this is something that we all can have too. I hope in 20 years' time, I'll still be seeing you. You will come to me with your children and say, Pastor Mitch, you know, here's my child, and you know, and I'm looking forward to that. Thaddeus, or you know, you bring, you come with twins to me. Pastor Mitch, you know, I have twins. Potential, we don't know, right? Are you planning to get married? No, don't know. But I hope 20 years from today, you know, you still be here. 30 years from here, you still be here, serving the Lord. Okay? Well, have a good weekend. I'll see you all tomorrow.